Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 6, as we're once again going through our series. If you've been with us, you know we've been in a series for quite some time called The Bible, A True Story. And it's a series that's been taking us on a journey that started in Genesis and will eventually end in Revelation. And over the last several weeks, we've been in the midst of a little series within a series that we're calling simply the armor of God, right? Because it talks about the armor of God. That's pretty ingenious, isn't it? The armor of God. Yeah? You guys like that? Oh, sorry. Now, throughout most of this larger series that we've been in, we've kind of taken more a broad look at the scriptures. It hasn't been chapter by chapter, book by book. We've just kind of been looking at this overarching story of the Bible. But as we got to the end of Ephesians 6, I felt like the Lord was leading me to take some time to really dive into Paul's analogy here of the armor of God. And so over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the fact that we're engaged in this great spiritual battle. But it's not a battle against flesh and blood, even though it may feel like it is at times, right? In our world today, sometimes doesn't it feel like it's flesh and blood? But it's not a battle against flesh and blood. Instead, Paul reminds us that it's a spiritual battle against the principalities, against the powers of this dark world. And so each week we've been looking at the different pieces of this spiritual armor that God has given to protect us in these spiritual battles that we face here in our world. And so far we've talked first about the belt of truth, right? And the importance of knowing the truth. Because if we know the truth, if we know what is right, if we know what is real, it makes it hard for the enemy to deceive us and to get us to fall into his traps. And then the next week we talked about the breastplate of righteousness and just the importance of walking in the righteousness of God. Because when we walk in his righteousness, and that's the only way we can really have righteousness, right? When we walk in his righteousness, the enemy then has nothing to hold over us. And we can walk in the freedom that Jesus provides for each of us. And then last week we talked about the shoes of the gospel and how the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it brings hope and peace that enables us to press on, that enables us to go the distance in this fight, in these battles. And now this morning, we're going to take a look at the next piece of armor that Paul tells us we need to protect ourselves against the enemy. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read once again Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. This is what it says. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And we're going to stop there. Now, the next piece of armor that Paul tells us we need to take up is the shield of faith. And so the question, obviously, is, well, what is faith? Now, I did a little search on my Bible app, and I found that there are 274 verses in the New Testament alone that talk about faith. And 7 or 8 years ago, if you were here, you may remember I did a summer series that was based out of Hebrews 11 that I titled Faith Is, as I looked at these great men and women of faith, and I talked about what faith is, and I talked throughout the whole summer, but I could have talked forever and ever about what faith is, because It's such a powerful thing. And there are numerous scriptures of people from the Bible that were people of faith, that show us what faith is. There are so many facets of faith and what faith really looks like. And so I tried to compress all that into kind of one definition for us. And probably one of the best basic definitions of faith that I could kind of put together for us is this. Faith is a belief in or confident attitude towards God involving commitment to His will for our life. You see, it's believing in God and who He says that He is. So much so that we're willing to give up our lives, give up everything to follow Him. Now, up until now, Paul's description of the armor has been limited to these items that we wear, right? We put on the belt of truth. We put on the breastplate. We put on the shoes. And they essentially, once we put them on, kind of stay on themselves. But the shield is different. Paul tells us that the shield is something that we must take up, right? It's something that we're required to actually grab hold of and raise against the enemy. Just strapping it to your arm won't do any good if we don't make the effort to lift it up and to hold it to protect us. You see, what good is our faith if we don't act upon it? If we don't actually live it out, right? Faith without works is dead. You see, it's one thing to say, you know, we can say, I believe every day, right? I believe. It's another thing, though, to actually show that you believe, to live it out. In a small Midwest town, they were experiencing a drought that had continued for what seemed like an eternity. And this small community of farmers were at a loss of what to do. They desperately needed rain to keep their crops healthy and to sustain their way of life. As the problem became more and more acute, the local pastor called for people to gather together to pray and believe for rain. Now, many people arrived at the church to pray for this much-needed rain, and the pastor greeted each of them as they filed into the church. As he walked to the front of the church to officially begin the meeting, he noticed most people were chatting across the aisles and socializing with friends. When he reached the front, his thoughts were on quieting the attendees and starting the meeting. His eyes kind of scanned the crowd, and as he asked for quiet, he noticed an 11-year-old girl sitting in the front row. Her face was beaming with excitement. And there next to her was a very colorful and extremely large umbrella. The little girl's beauty and innocence made the pastor smile as he realized how much faith she possessed. He then began to address the crowd that was there. He asked the crowd, how many of you believe that God will answer our prayers today? How many of you here believe that we serve a God of miracles and that by the time we're done praying today, rain will be falling upon this place? After his questions, many people responded with shouts of amen. Preach it, pastor, and hallelujah. And then the pastor responded with these words. If all of you believe this, how come little Jenny is the only one that brought her umbrella? You see, faith isn't just believing. It's actually showing up with our umbrellas. It's putting our faith in action. Paul tells us here that we have to take up the shield of faith. We have to show up with our umbrellas, knowing and believing that we serve a God of miracles, a God who can do anything. As I studied this scripture and the purpose of this shield in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in, I discovered that there were four things that I think we should know about the shield. Four things that I think will help us experience victory in the midst of the battles. And so here are the four things that I think we should know about the shield. Number one is this. The shield is our first line of defense. Even though all our armor is designed to protect us. There are certain parts of it that we don't want to be using to absorb the main blows, right? And let me explain what I mean here, right? If an arrow is coming your way, you aren't going to purposely just kind of throw your chest plate out there, right? Your breastplate. Oh, here, let me stop it with my breastplate, right? You don't throw your breastplate out there to stop this arrow that's coming to you. Because even though the breastplate is there for protection, it's not our first line of defense. And if the enemy is swinging a sword at you, right, you're not going to, well, throw your head in front of it to block it, right? I mean, the helmet is there to protect our head, but it's not what you want to use to block the attacks of the enemy. Because, let's just be honest, that would be stupid, right? That would be dumb. And so our first line of defense is our shield. Our first line of defense, it's our faith in Jesus. If our faith is down, then we're gonna struggle in this battle. Peter gives us a great example of this in Matthew 14. If you know the story, it's the story where Peter walks on water. Amazing, right? How many of us wouldn't want to walk on water? If you remember the story, the disciples are out in the boat by themselves, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. But they're scared, right? And they think it's some sort of ghost or something. But Jesus tells them, don't be afraid, it's I. And so I want to look at how Peter responds then in this section of Scripture. And so Matthew 14, 28 through 31, this is what it says. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? You see, when our faith in God is strong, we can walk on water. When we have our shield up, it's impossible for Satan to break through our shield and land the attacks. But when we lower that shield and allow doubt to creep in like Peter did in this moment, when we get distracted and let our shield down, it's then that we start to sink. And then the rest of the armor begins to get battered. And the truth is, so do we. But a raised shield of faith, it protects us. A raised shield of faith keeps us strong. So the shield of faith, it should be our first line of defense. We need to seek to have that faith in Him. Do we have the faith to show up with our umbrellas? Because it's that kind of faith that's going to help us stand strong against the enemy in the midst of the battles. And the second thing then I think that we should know about the shield is this. Number two, the shield protects us in the heat of the battle. Now back in the days of Paul, one of the most dangerous weapons used was something known as the fiery spear. Okay, fiery spear, not the fiery dart, the fiery spear. It wasn't extremely common, but it was extremely dangerous when it was used. And the fiery spears, they were spears that they were made of these hollow reeds that they filled with a flammable liquid. Kind of like today's Molotov cocktails, right? And so they were filled with these liquid, and they would dip the tips of the spear in tar and light them on fire. And so when these spears would hit the enemy, they would break, causing the flammable liquid to cover whatever it hit. And with the tip of the with the tip on fire, it would then ignite that liquid. And so if it hit you, you would then catch on fire, which I don't think is a good experience. I haven't had it happen myself. If you have, I'm sure you could tell us it's not a good experience. None of us wants to be caught on fire. But you see, these shields that many of them carried at this time, they weren't just these little small. We see different types of shields, but many of the shields that the Romans used were these huge shields. One of the things I read said that some of them were as big as a modern day door, okay? So they were these huge shields, and these large shields would protect them from these spears and the fiery liquid, because the liquid would go on the shield instead of on them. And they actually had special formations that they would fall into that would help shield many of them from these kinds of attacks. Polly, who's not here today, I was hoping she'd be here today, she had given me at the beginning as we got into this series some articles and commentary about these formations. They were known as the Roman testudo, and the translation for that word testudo is actually tortoise. It was the Roman tortoise, and it comes from the fact that they would put their shields together to form this shell over the top of them. I actually have a picture to put up that shows what it looked like. And so you can see on that picture there what it looked like. And these shields, as they put them together, would protect them from the fiery spears and protect them in the heat of the battle. And something I don't have on my notes as I was thinking about that picture this morning too is that's not just one person. That's a bunch of people together creating that. And there's something powerful too about when we come together in our faith and support one another and help protect one another, right? Because I in that moment may begin to doubt, and that person next to me can say, hey, let's not doubt. We got to put our trust in the Lord. He is our strength. He is our shield, right? And so there's something powerful. Not only does it protect us from that, but there's something, I mean, just not only does the shield protect us, but there's something about us coming together and using our shields together to protect each other. And so, like these shields, our faith can protect us in the heat of the battle. Let me share a story with you. Many of you are probably familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or if you grew up on VeggieTales, Rakshak and Benny, right? Now, here's the thing. When we talk about protection in the heat of the battle, it probably doesn't get much hotter than it did for them, right? At least physically. If you're not familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were young Jewish men who served under King Nebuchadnezzar. They had been captured. Israel had been captured, and so they served in the court of this evil king. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he had built this 90-foot statue of gold. And he put out this decree basically saying that whenever you hear this special music that plays, the harp, the lyre, if you read it, shares all the different types of music that plays. When you hear that music, you're to bow and to worship this image of gold. And he said in that decree that whoever doesn't bow down and worship this statue will be thrown into a fiery furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as men of God, knew that the only God that they were to worship was the one true God, and they weren't to worship idols. And so they weren't going to bow down to this golden image. And so when the music played, they were the only ones that remained standing. And when word was sent to King Nebuchadnezzar that they wouldn't bow down, he was furious. And he ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before him in his court. And he basically told them that the next time the music played, they better bow down or they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. And he said to them, you know, and what God will be able to save you at that time? And then in Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18, I actually want to read it to you. This is what it says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were men of faith. And when Satan, through King Nebuchadnezzar, attacked their values, attacked their beliefs, what did they do? They stood firm in their faith. And if you know the story, God protected them. And it says, even though they were thrown into this fiery furnace, that not even one hair on their body was singed. Now the guards that took them and threw them in, they died because the furnace was so hot. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived because they put their faith and trust in the Lord. And when we put our faith and trust in the Lord and truly believe that God is in control, then we can proudly take up our shield of faith and know that He is our protection. And whatever happens, it's in His hands. And it doesn't mean that everything is always going to go our way, right? Because sometimes we think, well, I put my faith in the Lord, but it didn't go the way I want. It's not always going to go our way. You see, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, but even if He doesn't, we're still going to walk in faith. We're still going to be obedient to You, Lord, and trust in You. Because we know that He will be with us in the fire. He will be with us through all that we go through, and He will shelter us in the middle of the battles. The shield, it's our first defense. The shield protects us. And thirdly, the shield extinguishes the flaming arrows. Paul tells us in verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He actually states it right there. Gives me one of my points. Now, we have to understand, flaming arrows are different than the fiery spear. The flaming arrows were just simply arrows that had been dipped in pitch or tar, and then they would light them and launch them at the enemy. And so the soldiers would, again, they would use these large shields to defend themselves against these flaming arrows. And as I read these, read about this and studied, these shields were actually made of wood. And this whole idea of extinguishing came from this reality of what they would do to their shields. Something that they would do to protect themselves from the fiery arrows is they would actually cover their shields with animal hide and would bind it all together with iron. And then they would dip their whole shield in water before they went out to battle, so that when the arrow would hit the shield with the wet hide, it would actually extinguish and put the fire out on the arrow. Now, the truth is, in this spiritual battle, the enemy is constantly shooting fiery darts at us, right? We could probably come up with a ton of fiery darts. Let me just throw out a few common ones that I think he loves to throw at us. Lies, right? He loves to throw lies at us. He loves it when he can trick us and deceive us and believe things that aren't true. Another is fear, right? He loves for us to be afraid because he knows that fear can actually cripple us. And fear for some people causes us to turn around and run the other direction, right? It can cause us to retreat. Another one of those is doubt, because he knows that if he can get us to start doubting like Peter did in the waves, right? If we can start doubting, then we'll begin to sink. We'll begin to fall. And these are scary things that can affect our faith. And so it's important that we extinguish these arrows, that we extinguish them immediately. We can't allow these darts to get through to do the damage that the enemy desires to do with them. We must use our faith and what we know in the Lord to keep these darts from actually affecting us. In John 8:44, we're told that the devil is the father of lies. We need to know that. So we need to seek the truth, so that when he throws those lies, we can say, no, I know that's not right. That's not what the scripture is saying. We can extinguish them. We can't continue to fall in his traps. We have to keep our eyes open for those fiery darts. In Psalm 27:1, it tells us, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It goes with what we talked about last week. If God is for us, then really, who can be against us? We don't need to fear. We can't let fear cripple us and keep us from moving forward. Now, does that mean we're not going to have fears that rise up or doubts that rise up? No. It just means that we can't let them cripple us. We have to realize that God is bigger than those things in front of us, and we have to continue to move forward. We must continue to step out in faith and know that He is our strength. And then James 1:6 tells us, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. If we ask, we got to trust that the Lord speaks to us. That still small voice that we hear, a lot of times it's like we know it's the Lord, but we allow that doubt to creep in and we allow those fiery darts. Lies, fear, doubt, these are just a few of the fiery darts that the enemy loves to throw at us. And we have to learn to use the shield of faith to extinguish those fiery darts before they can do damage. We have to put our trust in the Lord. The shield is our defense. The shield protects us. The shield extinguishes the fiery darts. And then the fourth thing is this. The shield helps push the enemy back. Another aspect of the shield was that in the middle of it was this big, giant brass knob on the front of it. And it was called the boss. That's what they called it. And that boss was used in different ways depending on the type of shield. But on the larger shields, they would use it almost like a battering ram. It had this big old thing, and they would use it to hit up against things, to knock their opponent back, to knock them off balance, so that if you could knock them down, then you could simply pull out your sword and just take care of them, right? And so its purpose was to push back or to knock the enemy down. And in James 4:7, we're told, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, our faith in God and our ability to resist the enemy can actually give the devil a good shove backwards and even cause him to flee. We've talked about the fact that Jesus has already won the victory. So we can move forward in faith. We can use our shields to push the enemy back and to take back ground that was once lost. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, we used to joke a lot about the Army, okay? And I apologize for all of you Army guys out there. But in our minds, a Marine was much more powerful, much more elite than an Army soldier. Now, again, you have to remember, you know, this was ingrained in our heads, right? We were taught this in boot camp. The few, the proud, the Marines, you know, you are better than anybody else. So we were brainwashed in that way. And there was this running joke that we would have that the Marines would take an area from the enemy and then they would hand it over to the Army to protect it, who would then end up losing it to the enemy, and we would then have to go and take it back again, right? Now, this was just a prideful joke that we would use to annoy the Army guys. I don't know if there's any truth to it. But I do know this. I know that in World War II, Germany and Japan took over a lot of land in Europe. And the American and British troops, Army and Navy and Marines and all of them, right, had to fight hard to take that land back. And this happens at times in our lives. We lose ground to the enemy. It happened in my life. It's happened in my life. When I fell in the Marine Corps, I felt like I had ruined my chances of ever becoming a youth pastor. And so I had given up a lot of ground to the enemy. But through my faith in Jesus Christ and understanding His love for me and His desire to use me as a member of His Army or His Marine Corps, however you want to look at it, I was able to take back the ground that I lost. And I've been doing my best to advance ever since. Less than a year after I got out of the Marine Corps, I became a youth pastor at a church in Eugene. And I did that for almost 16 years until God called me to take some new ground as He called me to be a senior pastor, to come here to Dallas. And now for 10 years, I've been doing my best to advance, right, and to take ground for the Lord, to extend His kingdom. And I know I haven't been perfect over the years. We all fail and fall short at times in our lives. And if we're being authentic and if we're really honest, we know that we may give up ground here or there at times to the enemy. But we've been given the shield of faith to take back ground for the Lord, to continue to push and drive back the enemy. And I believe if we're faithful to continue to do that, to continue to put up our shield of faith and continue to shove the enemy back, as it says in Matthew 16:18, then the gates of hell shall not prevail. You see, the enemy is doing everything he can to trap us. That scripture, I always struggle with that scripture growing. What does that mean, the gates of hell shall not prevail? Because I always pictured this hell over here in these gates. And it's like, why do we even want to get in there? We want to stay out of hell, right? And so that I always kind of struggle with that scripture. And then the Lord kind of showed me that, no, this is the enemy tries to come and surround us. The enemy tries to take over our lives and tries to put up these gates around us to wall us off and to keep us from being the effective men and women of God that he's called us to be. But we're told the gates of hell shall not prevail. We have the shield of faith to batter down that door, to batter down those gates. We have the boots, right, to kick our way through the stinking gate, to take back the land that was ours to begin with, that's been God's from the beginning, to take back the promised land that God created for us to love, live and experience. We have to take up the shield of faith and experience the victories that God has for each of our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this spiritual armor that you've given us. The fact, Lord, that our first line of defense is our faith. That's where it starts. It's our faith in you. Our belief in who you are, our belief in the scriptures and what the scriptures say, knowing that, Lord, you love us, knowing that you're with us, that you are our strength, that you have a plan for our life. It starts with our faith, Lord. We want to be people of faith. Because when we have that shield of faith up, then we are strong. When we allow that shield to droop down, then like Peter, we can sink in the waves. And so, Lord, we want to be people who are full of your faith. And I pray that for each of us here, Lord. I know that there is just a natural faith, but I also know this, that one of the gifts of the Spirit is a supernatural faith, a supernatural trust in you. And Lord, I want to pray that for all of us, that we would be filled with that supernatural faith that just puts our trust in you. That in the midst of the battles, in the midst of the struggles, when things look like we're up against the wall, when it looks like there's no place to go, that we trust that you have our back, Lord, that you have a way. I think of the Israelites, Lord, as they came to the sea, and Pharaoh and his army was coming after them, and they had nowhere to go. It looked impossible. It looked like they were going to be taken back to Egypt, if not slaughtered right there in the desert. But you opened up the sea for them to walk through. May we have that faith to know and believe, Lord, that regardless of what we come against, Lord, you always have a way to open up the sea and allow us to experience your grace and mercy in our lives. Lord, we want to be people of faith who trust in you. Through the ups and downs, Lord, we live in a fallen world. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to experience tragedies in life. But the reality is you are with us through them all. And you are our strength. You are our faith, Lord. May we take up the shield of faith to live the life that you've called us to live, Lord. To extinguish the attacks of the enemy, Lord. And to push the enemy back, advancing forward to live the life that you've called us to live. And so we thank you for this spiritual armor, Lord. May you just allow your word today to speak to each of us where we're at. What is it that you want me to receive from this message today? May we all ask that question. May we receive what you have for us. We thank you for these things. We give them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.